I'd like to read four scriptures, if you would bear with me, and they're all well known. And the first one is in the prophet Daniel, so page 1072, verse 17. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet will I read the writing to the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father the kingdom, and greatness and glory and majesty. And for the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he exalted, and whom he would he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit hardened unto presumption, he was deposed from the throne of his kingdom. And they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men. And his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They have hit him with grass like oxen, and his body was bathed with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth over the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whosoever he will. And thou, Belshazzar his son, hast not humbled thy heart, although thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of the heavens, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy nobles, thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then from before him was sent the part of the hand, and this writing hath been written, and this is the writing that is written. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And then again in Romans in chapter 3, page 1351 and verse 22, "Righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ towards all and upon all those who believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood." And then in Hebrews chapter 3, page 1449, verse 7. Hebrews 3, verse 7. "Wherefore, even as says the Holy Spirit, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." And finally in Acts, in verse Acts chapter 8, page 1314, chapter 8 and verse 29. "And the Spirit said to Philip, approach and join this chariot. And Philip, running up, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Dost thou then know what thou art reading of? And he said, How should I then be able, unless someone guide me? And he begged Philip to come up and sit with him. And the passage of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb is dumb in presence of him that shears him, thus he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment has been taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answering Philip said, "I pray thee, concerning whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other?" And Philip, opening his mouth and beginning from that scripture, announced the glad tidings of Jesus to him. And as they went along the way, they came upon a certain water. And the eunuch says, "Behold, water, what hinders my being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they went down both to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. But when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, And the eunuch saw him no longer, but he went on his way rejoicing. Our reading this afternoon was very confirming to me, because it was rather along the lines of what I was thinking of saying in the Gospel this evening. And my thought was really about the balances. Get a set of balances, one half and the other half. And you see a set of balances on the top of the law courts in London. There's a statue of someone holding a pair of balances. And the word from God to Belshazzar was, "Thou art weighed in the balances, and every man and woman and child, everyone that has lived upon this earth, will face God, and their deeds will be weighed in the balances." And we were talking about the righteousness of God. And on one side, there will be the righteousness and the holiness of God. And then on the other, the deeds committed here upon earth. And the weight of that scripture that we read this afternoon, "For all have sinned and come short," will be very visibly demonstrated at that time. You think of the best person that you might know. They will be put in the balances, and the scales will always fall the wrong way. Such is the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such is God's holiness that we read here with someone like Belshazzar. You might say, a wicked man. Obviously a wicked man. But then you may think and hear of someone who is nothing like as wicked as Belshazzar was. I read the verses that I did because it just briefly shows what he'd done. He'd brought into his house the vessels of gold that had been taken from the temple, and he was using them for his own pleasure and enjoyment, completely differently from the way that God wanted them to be used. And Daniel was one who was able to bring in this interpretation. And I just don't want to say too much about it other than what I've said. That each man that has ever lived, each person that has ever lived upon this earth, will be weighed in those balances. And if you've understood me rightly, you will understand that there is not a single person who will be found acceptable to God. Which really brings in the necessity of the glad tidings. Because if God's standard is such that everyone will be found wanting, how will you ever find acceptance before a holy God? Well, the answer is contained in these verses in Romans. God has set forth the Lord Jesus as a mercy seat. He set him forth as the Saviour of sinners. God does not desire the death of a sinner. God desires that all men should be saved. And in that regard, he has sent the Lord Jesus here in human form. Come of woman, come under law, scripture says. He came by way of Bethlehem's manger, as we know. He came in the humblest into the humblest of circumstances. He was not born in a palace. He came via Bethlehem's manger, the lowliest way, and yet he was God's son. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners. God was able to use the Lord Jesus Christ because he was perfect. The Lord Jesus would not have tipped those balances. God found the Lord Jesus perfect and acceptable in every way. So much so that he writes in this wonderful way, the apostle who wrote here, God has set forth the Lord Jesus as a mercy seat. And those to whom the apostle was writing would have known fine well where the mercy seat was to be found. In the Ark of the Testimony, in the holy place, the Holy of Holies. To enter in once, for once a year. And it says, not without blood. But God has worked in such a way that we can enter into the presence of God freely because of the work of redemption. Think of the wonderful work of redemption. Precious blood of the Lord Jesus being shed. That blood has paid the penalty of my sins. Christ's blood can pay the penalty of your sins if you'll accept it. That's the thing. If you'll accept it. And that's what brings me to the verse I read in Hebrews. Again, we know these verses very well. Today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear his voice. That's the important thing. Our ears may not be closed exactly, but they perhaps have become hardened. We become used to hearing the message of the glad tidings. The reality doesn't always come home to us in the way that it should. But if we just consider the way the Lord has come into this scene and moved in such a way, such a humble way, that he might bring us to the feet of God, having shed his precious blood, that we might know what it is to enjoy salvation. These things are a reality, you know. When you come to realise how brief life is, then the reality of a scripture like this, today, if you will hear his voice, comes home to you. And we read and we hear. Sometimes it's of someone we may know, but oftentimes it's persons that are strangers who are ushered from life into eternity in a second. Because of an accident, whatever it might be, God is able to work in that way. So it says, today, if ye will hear his voice, and I just desire that our ears may indeed be open to hear the words of grace. The Lord could stand up in the synagogue and he could say, today, these words of grace are fulfilled in your ears. those hearers in the synagogue heard for us a short time. And then it says they wondered at the words of grace that were coming out of his mouth. Such was the precious work of the Lord Jesus, that he could speak in such a way, I've got water, that he could say in this wonderful way, today these words of grace are fulfilled in your ears. And so these are words of grace that the Lord would speak to us even today. He doesn't speak in judgment. Judgment is coming. But he's speaking in words of grace. And the reason that I read finally in the Acts is that this man, this Ethiopian, was someone who acted immediately he heard the message. You might have thought he would have waited until he got home. But such was the force of Philip's message to him that he realised that he needed to act quickly. And I think that's the importance of the gospel message. When it finds a resting place in your heart, act quickly. You do not know how much time you may have. And because Philip, too, was active, he heard the Spirit's voice, rise and approach this chariot. He didn't prevaricate. He moved quickly and swiftly and he joined the chariot. He didn't know who he was going to meet, but it turned out to be this eunuch. And Philip was able to bring in the necessary word of salvation. Because as the Spirit works, so the eunuch was found reading the prophet Isaiah. Again, a scripture that we know very well. But it didn't mean a great deal to the eunuch. But Philip was able to bring in the gospel message. How wonderful it is that Isaiah speaks so much as for the gospel. I used to think that the gospel was something that you only read of in the New Testament. But Isaiah is full of passages as to God being a saviour. And he certainly is. And he can save even to the uttermost parts of the earth. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. And his arm was certainly toward this eunuch. And he just desired to avail himself of the message of salvation that was evident from the words of Philip's preaching to him. You might say, well, it wasn't a preaching in the sense where we're all sitting down in a room like this. No, but it was a message from an evangelist. Philip was an evangelist. And this was a message that came directly from the Holy Spirit. And the eunuch felt the weight of it. He felt the import of it. It was like a shaft going into his soul. And he acted upon it. How wonderful. Behold water, what hinders my being baptized? And the result is that they both go down to the water and the eunuch is baptized. And then it says he went on his way rejoicing. That is the effect of the glad tidings. God's power, God's righteousness, as we're having this afternoon, it brings in peace. And if you're at peace, you're joyful. There's nothing that's going to snatch that away, because it's God given. It's from the Holy Spirit. It resides in your heart and it causes you to rejoice. And so, although he may have looked For Philip, he wasn't to be found. Did that upset the eunuch? No, it didn't. He continued on his way, rejoicing. He'd found something in his heart that was a reality to him. He'd been to Jerusalem, and he found nothing very much there. Perhaps he'd found it to be disappointing, quite possibly. But here was a message directly from God himself, and it related to his eternal salvation, and he took it immediately. And that's what I want to get home to you today. We're found in the balances and wanting. That's one thing. Each one of us will be found to be wanting, no matter what. But the message comes home to you today. This is the time when God is propitious towards you and towards me. Take the opportunity. Do not make light of it. It's God speaking. It's God's offer of salvation. And seize it and make it your own. Be sure that you're saved. Be sure that you know the efficacy of Christ's blood in your soul. Be sure. It was a public thing. The Lord was crucified publicly. And publicly a soldier pierced his side. And the blood that flowed was seen by all at that time. All those who stood around saw the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And it caused the centurion who was standing over him to say, "Truly, this man was Son of God." So I do not preach anything that cannot be substantiated. There were witnesses. This is not something that is in any way made up. This is the truth. This comes from God himself. Every page of the Holy Scriptures indicted by the Holy Spirit. This is the message that would come home to every heart. I cannot say, as some of the writers of the Scriptures, having been eyewitnesses of His Majesty, but there were those who could write such words. And Peter was one of those who could say, "I was an eyewitness of His Majesty." Peter, of course, was also at the house of the high priest. And he was one who, at that time, denied the Lord Jesus. Peter had a history very much like our own, up and down. Sometimes keen, sometimes desirous of hiding away. But the Lord came through for him in the end, you might say. He says that Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. Peter's faith did not fail. Peter was able to describe what he saw, and what he saw caused him to rejoice. And what the eunuch heard caused him to rejoice. And I just desire that what you hear this evening may cause you to rejoice for his name's sake.